Welcome to today's Community Coffee Break. It is Friday, 15th of May, 2020. And with us, we have me up in, I don't know where I am on the matrix, but I'm here. Then we have Solbu, and then we have Peter, and then we have Ron Morissette. And then we have a newcomer to the group. Welcome, Mo Maravilla, it looks like. Then Robbie's good to see you. And then we had Robbie, but he's done disappeared on us, so I don't know where he's at. So he'll probably be back anyway. So we can carry on now that we've got the intro out of the way. I just thought I'd get the formalities out of the way. That way we can carry on and Robbie can take his time getting in. So
yeah, during the past whole lot of these coffee breaks, we have been talking about old tech. So this is what
old
I'm going to do today.
Computers. Yes, I have an old K32X.
I am going to do some old schooling on the request of someone I know who wanted a copy of a CD. So I have some CDRs that I'm gonna burn one copy for. It's my mother. So, and in my country, it's legal.
What's gonna be? I'm almost afraid to ask what's gonna be on that CD.
It's music.
Some
version of music. So,
yeah, in my country,
hate to crash your party, guys,
here,
but I'm in.
Yeah,
yay, welcome.
It's my twin over there.
Yeah.
See, I went ahead and did the intro for you, Robbie. So we're just deep into the conversation.
Thanks, BP9.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hello. No worries.
It's great to see you, man.
I've never joined this before.
I don't know if it's me that's cracking up like crazy. I don't know what's going on, but Mo, it's nice
you.
To see you.
It's you, Robbie.
Good, yeah. Excellent. I'm on a 100 meg fiber connection, so I don't know what's going on.
We're doing just fine over here. I don't know what your problem is, but we're doing just fine over here. So
I don't know what my problem is either.
Yeah, I was commenting just before you joined and came on here now that the problem is that your job is your connection, internet connection, is saturated with support requests from your clients.
Yeah, exactly.
I had the one up sent in the meter for the internet.
Yeah.
Peter, your new valve doesn't sound any better than the last one.
I wouldn't say that because it was very surreal. It was absolutely surreal going to the place. And I don't mind. They give me green licorice. And I know it's not a fool.
How much we won't do for free licorice?
Green licorice. And I'm near the Fool's Road. And I said, I know we're near the Fool's Road, but you don't have to rub it in. I said, I'd rather have orange stuff than green. And I left it at that. But...
You know I poke fun out of love, Peter. Come on now.
I want to know, does green licorice taste any different to, looks like I've lost the internet. Or maybe, I don't know.
Oh, he's still there.
Yeah, well, I'm using the hotspot on the phone this time because sure enough, my house internet just died. But looks like I'm using the phone hotspot. It's working! Woohoo!
Yeah, it is.
So my question to you, Peter, was, does green licorice taste any different to regular licorice?
Green liquid, and it's horrible.
Green liquid.
This is what it's like. This is what it's like having a Zoom meeting with Peter. I thought he said free licorice. BP9 thought he said green licorice. And no, it was some green liquid.
So it's an Australian listening to an Irishman. What do you expect, Robbie?
And to answer your question, green licorice tastes like green licorice. So.
Isn't it like green apple? It's really yummy.
Yeah,
like
well, it's probably just sugar like all the other licorices because there's no such thing as real licorice anymore. Not from... unless you can find licorice from a licorice plant, I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta grow your own. No, that because of like the whole vegan movement and everything else, like there's all these sure. health stores that have cropped up, right? So we've got yeah. like a health food grocery store where you pay like $4 for something that you normally pay a dollar for.
Yeah,
but yeah. they have that kind of stuff. Like licorice root you can get
okay.
in a bag. Yeah.
Okay.
It exists, man. It exists.
Which comes from a licorice plant.
Yes.
See, so you laughed at me, but it's a licorice plant. So, no. You know, I was telling the truth.
You can buy it. You can buy it.
Okay. We have it as a kid in London. And I got a London accent. That's why you can't understand me. I got a copy accent. I totally can understand. It is very broad sometimes. Not as broad as my cousin. She's very broad, but I'm a little bit broad. I lost a lot of it anyway in the years. But as people have got the accent, I got a very strong London accent. I was from London. But my relations went from this air part of the world a long time ago. Anyway.
So, Mo, you're going to find that wearing a headset is going to be really, really useful here.
Yeah. It doesn't help. I actually
You'll
feel
probably
like
find it easier.
I feel like the dog in The Simpsons. Do you guys remember the old episode of The Simpsons when they're like, blah, 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 cookie, blah, 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 blah?
Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown in the yeah. In the classroom.
Yes, ma'am. I was listening.
We do our best. We do our best. Unfortunately, my best is definitely not good enough.
I'm going to shock you, but this reminds me of a video that I have.
Oh, what a surprise! Why am I not surprised?
It's a cartoon video that someone made of I don't know the English word for it, but at the end, it's a few minutes of some character who is doing things and ended up right where he started when he's trying to be clever, and he's more trapped than he ever was. And there's an end credit with the name of the person who did the drawing and he who did the sound. And during that, he has a sound effect running, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I use Zoom every day. I would use it for work. So,
yeah,
I'm used to it. I have all my devices with Zoom. I have Linux, of course, and I have my work computer, my Windows desktop, and my phone. And sometimes I join with more than one device to confuse people.
Yeah, Peter does that sometimes too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Robbie, you've been known to do that too, Robbie. You've been known to. You did
now,
that
there were three
morning.
Of me earlier, but...
Yeah, exactly my point.
It was all from one device.
Marshmallow did that once.
And I think
The Bill Marshall did that once. And he joined with three or four clients in one show. And no one noticed,
like,
I think.
Get all your old phones and put them around yourself like the Matrix scene.
Why not?
Yeah. And, and just connect each one to the Zoom meeting.
Yep, see how your bandwidth
holds up.
Well, my house internet already cracked out once today. So, well, several times today. It's having a hard time this morning. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why the hotspot. Well,
but it's Friday and it's a long weekend here in Barrie, so I don't have to work on Monday. So
is it a long weekend? What, really? How did you manage that?
What is the weekend? Queen's
birthday or something?
What's Victoria Day? Queen's I think it's Victoria birthday? Day.
Yeah, no, I don't know that one. Because in Australia, we probably do that too, but we're
under the monarchy, but none of us understand it.
So same in Australia. Australia is the same. Yeah. No surprise there.
I remember an interview with someone who used to work for the Queen. It was a documentary on human rights and Saudi Arabia. And the Queen did a prank on the King, I think, of Saudi Arabia. He was visiting 20 years ago. the queen is on is a suitable driver herself. So she has stopped driving now, but she used to drive earlier in her spare time and so on. And she, in order to prove, not saying anything, but to prove a point that women are not just subject of a male, she shoved into his car. He was coming, and they were driving from the airport, I think, and to her place. And she shoved him to his place in the car, and he was expecting a male driver to sit in the front. No, she went around and sat in and drove away.
Oh, yeah.
So, I like that story. So, and he was not happy, but he didn't say anything.
So what are you guys up to for the weekend? Oh, so you've got something for
us, DP9? I've got some comments about the Pine phone.
Oh, yes.
You may remember.
You got yours?
No,
like 2 weeks. Two weeks ago, it got to like the edge of China and then disappeared. That's what my tracking.
Well, I have an update. Nothing is happening.
You have an update that says at least you know where yours is.
Where it was two
is that
weeks
what
ago.
Oh my! You've got one coming as well. I'm talking about the Pine phone, not the Pine time.
Oh, no, mine's the Pine time. I'm ready for the I'm waiting for the consumer ready Pine phone. I think I might get a dev kit. We'll see.
I'm using all
the Pine phone is the UB Ports edition is supposed to be consumer ready, I think.
Is it now?
Or am I wrong? I think it might be. We'll find out.
I thought I had some trouble with dialing.
I don't know. We'll find out because I've got a spare SIM.
Kind of important on a phone.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. Well, so I was looking at how contacts get managed, right? Remember, I had that discussion with you about CardDev and CalDev using Evolution. So I've been sort of using different clients to set different attributes on a V card. For instance, like an anniversary date on a V card. Well, it turns out Thunderbird and Android they all use X minus sign or X hyphen anniversary as the V card tag to tag the date of the anniversary, but Evolution does not. Evolution uses X hyphen Evolution hyphen anniversary.
No way. So, they just got to get their name
Evolution,
in there.
So Evolution can't figure, doesn't pay any attention to an anniversary date that Thunderbird or Android might set. And Thunderbird doesn't pay any attention to what Evolution might set. That was one of the things that really bugged me about
this.
Thank you. It's simple, is it not? I mean, but no, it had to be.
Yeah.
Evolution.
So, V card is a text file. It's XML, right? So, you create?
It's not XML.
It's not. Oh, okay.
It's not XML.
It is text based. Oh,
it
is
just
key value
pairs.
Like a line by line. Yeah,
that's right. It's key value pairs.
You could do a sed search and set it up to automatically replace all instances of X dash Evolution with X dash.
Not if it's sitting in a DAV server, in a card DAV server somewhere. It's going to be a bit hard to mess with it.
So if you create it on your Pine phone, you won't be able to see it on your computer,
or on any Evolution client, because I'm imagining the Pine phone would use the Evolution client to manage contacts.
You could fix this in PHP, right, BP9?
How did I know you were going to say that? Knew you would say that.
Yeah, you could.
It's like a conversation that reminds me of an old XKCD joke. It's one of the early ones where there's two people discussing about how many there's too much standards, and people just need to agree on one stand. So they create a new standard that everyone can use.
Yes.
And it ends up that now there's 8 standards too.
Well, that's how you do languages too.
Yeah. Well, now Devical, which is the CardDev and CalDev server that I'm using is written in PHP. So I could probably do this.
This is what I'm thinking. What if you took your open source CalDev server and created some kind of an extension for that? So the CalDev server would adapt it and output parsed CalDev data.
Except that any CalDev or CardDev server, the primary goal of that thing is not to mangle the data that it's parsed. So if you're unmangling it, but it's a fine line, Robbie. It really is because you should not. The goal is you have to preserve every single line, whether you understand that line or not. But
so take a different alternative.
Instead of reconfiguring the CardDev server or the some server somewhere, since you are going to put it on your Pine something, you could reconfigure the client, the evolution.
So I'd be reconfiguring evolution to write.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking, BP9. I'm thinking fork evolution, fix it, and create a package specifically for PinePhone.
Well, here's another problem, and that problem is that recording stuff like, in specifically anniversary in this case, or anything that's not already defined in the standard for vCard, it's not clear on how you should store that date. Mm. I mean, for instance, there's a date of birth that has a specific string, right? I think it might be birthday. Last name, first name, LN, FN. But they're all defined in the standard, but anything outside of that is not defined in the standard. An anniversary, for instance, would be one of those. Date of death, for instance, would be one of those. It's not defined in the standard.
I guarantee you the standard is not going to include the application name. I guarantee you the standard won't include the application name.
No, that's another X line, right, that you write to the vCard that says a vCard client is X evolution or whatever it is.
But if one needs to fork the evolution in order to fix this, the way to do it is to make the fork to list both the X evolution and the X without the evolution string. So it shows both. So it can use both, and it doesn't care what the string it's for.
And again, specifically events like anniversary or date of death or whatever are not defined as to how they should be stored in a vCard. So that somebody used X-anniversary just happens to be a de facto standard they picked. It's not recorded anywhere in the standard as far as I can see.
So it's been decided then we're going to create our own standard.
Yeah. There you go. But that is the
only solution.
That is the problem you have when you start messing with vCard and CalDev and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very fine line. It's a very wishy-washy line, unfortunately. So I don't know how to fix that. If I were to clone evolution and try and fix it, I would attempt to at least make it conform to a known standard, but there is no known standard. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but
I was just looking at your pen there.
If there is no standard, then it should conform to what is the de facto standard.
Like X-anniversary in this case, right?
Yeah.
Or X-cat5tv-standard-evolution-anniversary.
Whatever you want to do, Robbie. Whatever you want to do. We'll see who catches on to that standard. So
yes, yeah.
One of the reasons I resisted...
I don't care about standards, dash, something, yeah. Something.
One of the reasons I resisted evolution when I first started looking at CardDev data is precisely for that reason, that they have all their own attributes. And they write Evolution writes like half a dozen attributes. It's crazy the sort of stuff that it puts in the V card. All starting with X hyphen evolution. It's nuts. I don't understand it, but there you are.
I remember when I was 11.
Yeah, I was checking out which email client I was going to use on the Linux. And Evolution was one of the clients that I tried, and I rejected it solely because at least at the time, there was no place to configure that it should not, under any circumstances, render HTML email. So I settled on the KML.
Okay.
It must be from the days of X11 where you prefix stuff with X.
Oh, it's possible. Yeah, it's entirely possible. Now, I do think the standard says if you want to write custom attributes, use X hyphen something. But it doesn't say any more it doesn't declare any further what that attribute should define. But I was going to ask you, Solbu, do you happen to know what file format that Evolution uses when it stores emails? No. Thunderbird, for instance, uses standard inbox files.
I've never used Evolution for anything other than testing it 17 years ago. So
Okay.
That's been a long time for me too.
And I've got so many emails, like tens of thousands of emails.
Yeah, same here. I have many years. Close to 200,000 emails in my inbox, in my email client.
And that's all in KMail for you, is that correct?
Yes.
And are they just standard inbox files as well?
I think so.
Okay. To me, it's important that you have some sort of a portable standard that you can at least move from one to the other if you decide you want to do that.
Yeah.
But
for me, it's called IMAP.
But now you're relying on someone else's.
Yep, exactly. You're relying on someone else's computer to hold on to that email. And if you lose access to that computer for whatever reason, you've lost access to all your emails. I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I see the lights turning on, Robbie, in your head.
Well, I'd use Thunderbird to pop my email and leave it on the server, and then I back up my Thunderbird and the stuff, and it's just I don't know.
I have one problem with the current KML. It's known as KML2 when it came. I stopped using that. I have a virtual machine running Mandriva 2010 version because the newer KML, I have close to 300 filtering rules on my yeah.
So if I
get more than a couple of emails from someone, I create a separate folder, and I create a rule that all email from that person goes into that folder, and then I create a subfolder where my outgoing emails to that person goes to a separate. Yeah. When the newer KML moves a mail from the inbox and into the folder. It stores two copies of the exact same email in that folder, and I can't live with that.
Yeah, I used to manage my own email server 15 years ago, and I have my own domain, and I still use that email, but I migrated it to Google, and Google manages the email for my domain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's similar to my scenario.
I use my own email server.
And I'm
grateful. I'm not running a mail server.
Yeah, I'm not running a mail server here,
popping.
But what I do is I just pop my email from all my providers. I've got like two or three different places that I get email. My ASP is one of them, and then I also have my own domain as well. Yeah. And I pop my email from their mail server back to me. All my mail is in inboxes on my machine, right? And then I just back up the whole machine as a periodic backup.
I have tried them. We are closing up, I think. I have tried in the last few years, migrating to another email client because the KML version I use is 10 years old, and I'm sure there's some problems with it eventually. But
they have HTML email now, which is really neat. You should try it.
Yeah, but that is not the problem. That is not my what's holding me back. It's they don't accept my filtering rules without crashing. I have KML.
If your application is that old, Solbu, like what happens with the deprecation of like TLS 1.2? Do you have to hold back your?
No. It is only fetching from my server, and it's my internal server, and I don't encrypt internal traffic, and I'm the only one here.
You run a mail server at your house?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's because I don't trust a third party to host my email. It is that simple. Mm.
Super secret stuff.
Yeah, but it's that if they have a policy about something, and they discover that you are storing something that they don't allow, they could do one of two things. They could delete that file or that email. Or they could close your account, and then you are. And if you don't have a local copy, then you lost everything. So, I don't.
Gotta run, guys. Mo, it's nice seeing you. It's nice to see everybody else. Solbu, Peter, BP9, and Ron. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Robbie. Bye. Enjoyed it. Mo, good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you. Likewise. Nice meeting everybody.
Yep, you too. Take care.